From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister Agus Gumiwang is optimistic that the job creation law will speed up reindustrialization. Minister of Agriculture Syahrul asked for Agricultural Quarantine Agency to adjust with trade. Now the news in details. Kartasasmita is optimistic that the job creation law can encourage reindustrialization in Indonesia so that the contribution of manufacturing to national gross domestic products GDP can reach 25% in the next few years. He said in Jakarta on Sunday that to speed up the reindustrialization in Indonesia, his side also focuses on deepening the industrial structure and implementing the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap. Until now, the contribution of manufacturing to GDP is still the largest among other economic sectors. He also explained that in the second quarter of 2020, the contribution of the industrial sector to GDP had reached 19.87%. Thereby, the Ministry of Industry continues to make various strategic efforts so that manufacturing industry remains productive and competitive amid the COVID-19 pandemic by encouraging incentive and stimulus for domestic industries. Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yasin Limpo asked the Agricultural Quarantine Agency, Barantan, to be able to adjust with the develop of quarantine and international trade, which moves dynamically. He remarked that until now, Barantan has been able to prove to be the forefront of Indonesian agriculture in maintaining and protecting the preservation of Indonesia's living natural resources for the welfare of the nation and state. While chairing a meeting at the Agricultural Quarantine Method Applied Test Center in Bekasi, West Java on Sunday, he said that the 143rd Agricultural Quarantine Day is coincided with the momentum for the enactment of a new quarantine through Law No. 21-2019, which became a milestone of reform of the Agricultural Quarantine Agency in adapting to the times. The Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry stated that with the presence of the omnibus law of the job creation law amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Indonesia could seize and grab investment opportunities in the Asian region for the provision of employment in the country. Chairman of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Rosan Peroslani, in an online discussion in Jakarta on Sunday, said that the existence of the omnibus law amid the COVID-19 era is now important for Indonesia to compete with neighboring countries in increasing investment. In the end, this will create jobs. Indonesian language is included in the extracurricular education program in some kindergartens to secondary schools in Ottawa City, Canada. This was reported by Indonesian Embassy in Ottawa in a statement received in Jakarta on Sunday. The Indonesian class, according to the Indonesian Embassy in Ottawa, aims to enhance interaction between citizens from the two countries and strengthen a relation between Indonesia and Canada, which this year commemorates 68 years of diplomatic relation. Indonesian Ambassador to Canada Abdul Kadir Jailani, when launching a virtual Indonesian class on Saturday, said that the introduction of Indonesian for Canadians would be a solid foundation in the future for the two nations to understand and work together. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Washington is ready to introduce sanctions against any individual or organization that contributes to the supply, sale, or transfer of conventional arms to or from Iran, as this action violated UN Security Council resolution on the matter. This was affirmed by U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Sunday, the day when the UN arms embargo on Tehran expired. He pointed out in a statement that on September 19, virtually all UN sanctions on Iran returned, including reimposition of the UN arms embargo. Accordingly, the export of certain conventional arms to Iran is a violation of UN Security Council Resolution UNSCR 1929, and the procurement of any arms or related material from Iran is a violation of UNSCR 1747. The Iranian Foreign Ministry released a statement at the strike of midnight declaring that it was no longer barred from procuring or selling arms as the UN Security Council embargo time span has ended. China's economic recovery stepped up in the third quarter. Data release is expected to show on Monday as consumers return to malls and major trading partners reopen for business, shaking off the record slump since earlier this year. According to a Reuters poll, the world's second largest economy likely grew 5.2% in July to September from a year earlier, faster than the second quarter's 3.2%. China releases third quarter GDP data on Monday at 0200 hours GMT, along with September factory output, retail sales, and fixed asset investment. Policymakers globally are pining their hopes on a robust recovery in China to help restart demand as economies struggle with heavy lockdowns and a second wave of coronavirus infection. According to analysts from Capital Economics, China has become the first major economy to return to its previous growth path thanks to its rapid containment of COVID-19 and effective stimulus response. However, they warn a renewed slowdown is likely from late 2021 as stimulus fades. Israel and Bahrain would officially establish diplomatic relations Sunday at a ceremony in Manama, an Israeli official said, after the two states reached a U.S.-brokered normalization deal last month. An Israeli delegation led by National Security Council Chief Meir Ben Sabat took off from Tel Aviv for a one-day trip to Manama that would see Israel and Bahrain formalize the agreement they signed at the White House on September 15. Both Israel and Bahrain will be free to open embassies in each other's countries. An Israeli embassy in Manama is scheduled to open in the coming months. Before takeoff, Israeli's delegation chief Sabat said the aim was to translate into practical plans and concrete agreements the peace declaration that was signed on the White House lawn. U.S. Treasury Secretary Stephen Turner Mnuchin and President Donald Trump's Special Assistant for International Negotiations Avi Berkowitz landed in Tel Aviv before joining the Israeli delegation flight to Manama. In addition to the joint communique establishing diplomatic ties, Israel and Bahrain are expected to sign 6 to 8 memorandums of understanding in finance and investment, trade and economy, tourism, aviation, communication, culture, science, technology, and agriculture, including security cooperation. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Efforts to Eradicate Poverty Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. Since the first case of the coronavirus was identified in Wuhan, China, 10 months ago, the COVID-19 pandemic is still ongoing. New cases are reported every day in various countries around the world. Launching data from the World Meters page Monday, the total number of COVID-19 cases is currently more than 40 million cases. Of these, there have been 1.1 million deaths and more than 30 million patients have been declared cured. The increasing number of COVID-19 cases affects not only the health sector, but also the economic sector. The pandemic caused lags in economic activity, which automatically forced many business actors to undertake efficiency to reduce losses. As a result, not a few workers were dismissed or even laid off. This has led to an increase in the poverty rate. According to the World Bank, as reported by BBC on Thursday, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, extreme poverty is predicted to increase this year, experienced by around 115 million people. This increase has been recorded for the first time since 1998 or over the last two decades. At that time, the financial crisis in Asian countries rocked the global economy. The World Bank also noted that in 2021, the number of extreme poor people will increase to a total of 150 million people. In fact, before the pandemic, the extreme poverty rate was estimated to fall to 7.9% in 2020. But the poverty will actually affect between 9.1% and 9.4% of the world's population this year. This percentage appears in the World Bank's Joint Poverty and Well-being Report. Extreme poverty is defined as living on less than $1.90 a day. According to the World Bank, in Indonesia, the extreme poverty rate is estimated to be 3% in 2020. Meanwhile, the Central Statistics Agency BPS recorded the number of poor people in Indonesia reached 26.42 million people in March 2020. With this number, the poverty rate in Indonesia is equal to 9.78% of the total national population. To alleviate poverty amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the Indonesian government has made various efforts through the National Economic Recovery Program, such as by distributing social assistance and non-cash food assistance to the community and funding the pre-work card amounting to 20 trillion rupiah. Through the pre-employment card, people who do not have a job can receive guidance and training. The government also provides subsidies for micro, small, and medium enterprises and the placement of government funds in the banking sector as assistance for business actors. All of the efforts made by the Indonesian government are in line with the theme of World Poverty Eradication Day, which is commemorated on October 17, 2020, namely, acting together to achieve social and environmental justice for all. Hopefully, the efforts made by the Indonesian government can reduce poverty even though it is impossible to eliminate it. At least, the poverty rate in 2021 can remain at the rate estimated by Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani, which is 9.2 to 9.7%. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. Let's begin Today in History with an event on October 19, 1987 on the tragedy of Bintaro. Bintaro tragedy was a great crash of two trains in the Pondok Petung area, Bintaro, South Jakarta on October 19, 1987. The accident was the worst accident in the history of railways in Indonesia. This tragedy also attracted the public attention in the world. The investigation after the incident showed that Sudimara Station's official was negligent in providing a safe signal of the train from the direction of Rangkas Bitung. In fact, there was no safe statement from Kebayoran Station. This was done because of the full line at Sudimara Station. Next event was in 1999 when East Timor officially separated from Indonesia. East Timor is a former Portuguese colony which became part of the Republic of Indonesia. East Timor had been part of the Indonesian province from July 17, 1976 until October 19, 1999. At that time, the province was the 27th Indonesian province. It was integrated with the territory of the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia after being colonized for 450 years by Portugal. The province includes the eastern parts of the island of Timor, the island of Kambing or Atuaro, the island of Jeko, and an exclave in West Timor surrounded by province of East Nusa Tenggara. East Timor officially got independence on May 20, 2002. The last event was in 2005 when Saddam Hussein's trial began. Saddam Hussein's trial was conducted of Iraqi overthrown President Saddam Hussein by the Iraqi temporary government for crimes against humanity during his reign. The coalition of temporary authority proposed the formation of the Iraqi Special Court, consisting of five Iraqi judges, on December 9, 2003, to sentence Saddam Hussein and his assistants for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. On November 5, 2006, Saddam was sentenced to death by hanging. On December 26, Saddam's appeal was rejected and the capital sentence was upheld. No further appeals were received and Saddam was ordered to be executed within 30 days from that date. The place and time of the capital sentence was kept secret until the sentence was carried out. Saddam Hussein was executed by hanging on December 30, 2006. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Biarkan aku tanpa sebab. Maunya apa? Ku harus bagaimana?
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on Indonesia and Singapore strengthen cooperation to accelerate economic recovery. The governments of Indonesia and Singapore agreed to strengthen economic cooperation, including increasing investment in the digital technology sector, to accelerate efforts to recover the two countries' economies due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Erlangga Hartarto, at a virtual bilateral meeting in Jakarta on Thursday said that Indonesia-Singapore agreed to make extraordinary efforts and come up with new policy breakthroughs to ensure that strict health protocols and economic recovery can go hand in hand. At the bilateral meeting, Singapore was represented by the Minister of Trade and Industry, Chan Chun Sing, who led the delegation. During the ministerial meeting, the two countries emphasized the importance of the previous agreement, namely the ratification of the bilateral investment, the travel corridor, and the double tax avoidance agreements, as well as Indonesia's structural reform policy through the job creation law. Erlangga Hartarto said the agreement this time was an effort to improve the investment climate and increase Indonesia's economic competitiveness in the region. The two countries also see the potential for increased investment, especially in the digital economy, smart cities, financial technology, and digital technology-oriented startups. According to Minister Erlangga, Indonesia can learn from other countries that make further progress so that one of the important collaboration that are being developed by the two countries is related to the digital economy and training of young talent in the technology sector. In addition, this bilateral meeting also discussed the achievement of bilateral economic cooperation from six working groups, namely Batam, Bintan, Karimun, and Special Economic Zones Working Group, and the Working Groups on Investment, Transportation, Tourism, Labor, and Agribusiness. The two ministries agreed on the progress report on the cooperation of the six working groups to be reported to the two heads of governments. Minister Erlangga said, Singapore was Indonesia's third largest trading partner, and Indonesia was Singapore's sixth largest trading partner. In terms of investment, Singapore was the main source of foreign direct investment for Indonesia during 2014-2019, with a total investment of $6.5 billion in 2019. In the tourism sector, 1.61 million Singaporean tourists visited Indonesia last year. In the midst of the downward trend in the economy, the global crisis due to the pandemic, there was a growth in the value of investment from Singapore to Indonesia until the second quarter of 2020. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس COVID-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Yeah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Postik Beach in Papua. Stay tuned. Listener, Postik Beach is another proof of the beauty of Papua land. This beach has exotic views that can be enjoyed at any time. Segara Indah Beach, or better known as Postik Beach, is located in Woniki Village, East Biak, Numfor Regency, Papua Province. In front of the beach, there are small islands. You can see many small boats passing from the market. This beach is always crowded with local and foreign tourists. This is because Postik Beach has a very beautiful nature. At Postik Beach, tourists will be spoiled with white sand and clear sea water and beautiful coral reefs. They can also swim or snorkel on this beach. However, everybody has to be careful if they want to snorkel at Postik Beach because the beach has a strong current. If the tourists want to enjoy the freshness and beauty of the view of Postik Beach, they can rent huts which are mostly built on the beach with the tariff of 50,000 rupiah. There is no time limit for the rental of this hut. The visitor can enjoy the view from this hut as much as they like while enjoying the freshness of the young coconut, which is sold by the owner of the hut. This beach can access easily by a motorbike taxi, which costs around 20,000 rupiah to 30,000 rupiah for one way if you can rent a car that can carry 5 passengers at a rate of 350,000 rupiah per day for one car. To enter this very beautiful beach, you can only pay an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person. Postik Beach is a mainstay tourism spot for Biak residents as a tourism attraction every weekend due to the location of the beach, which is not so far from the city, and the transportation to the beach is also easy. Visitors from outside Biak will also have no trouble finding lodging because lodging in Biak is available. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Postik Beach in Papua. I'm Nurka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wa chakuyou shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is liburan, in English, vacation. Listen to this conversation about liburan in English vacation. Ahmad tells Kevin that he will pick him up for tour.
Halo Pak Kevin.
Halo.
Silahkan bersiap Pak. Sebentar lagi kita berangkat ke Pulau Kelor.
Asyik liburan.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'm going to say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Silakan bersiap, which means please get ready. Berangkat, which means to leave. Asik liburan, which means hooray, vacation. Kiriman barangnya telah tiba, which means the shipment has arrived. Aku memerangkannya, which means I want it. When you feel happy, you can use the word asik, hooray, wow, which means hooray. For example, asik liburan, which means hooray, vacation. Hooray, kiriman barangnya telah tiba, which means hooray, the shipment arrived. Wow, aku berhasil memenangkannya, which means wow, I won it. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo Pak Kevin.
Halo.
Silahkan bersiap Pak. Sebentar lagi kita berangkat ke Pulau Kelor.
Asyik liburan.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Terima kasih.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song entitled Bumi Emas Tanah Airku, sung by Ismanto. The song tells about Indonesia's wealth such as green forest, river, lake, and fertile land. The country has various kinds of plants and other wealth of the earth. Those are Almighty God's blessings which should be protected and grateful. The song Bumi Emas Tanah Airku was composed by Gesang, an Indonesian keroncong maestro who well known not only in Indonesia but also abroad. Well, listener, let's listen to the keroncong song Bumi Emas Tanah Airku by Ismanto. Enjoy the song.
Selalu turunkan hujan. Sungai dan danau menyimpan airnya kali kan berlimpah berkah abadi. Silih berganti tumbuhnya bila di
Voice of Indonesia.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul kenyang. Masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta? Kau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu. Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang
jatuh cinta lagi.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safiri Adalah. See you on the next English program.